as I'm sitting in the back, we were just singing those songs, and the words like that they were singing about praise always being on my lips. I don't know if that hit any of you guys as you were singing that. And I'm thinking to myself in my own head, I'm thinking like, what did my week look like? What did today look like? And here I am, I'm in the back and I'm got my hands up and I'm worshiping and I'm telling God, like, I want your praise to always be on my lips. Like, in the worst times of my life, I want to be able to say that there's praise on my lips to Jesus. In spite of the things that are happening around me. In spite of the mood I'm in that day, or how tired I am, or the terrible thing that just happened, or how discouraged I am, I want to know that there's something within me that says none of that stuff matters in light of the fact that Jesus Christ died for me. That Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And so His praise will always be on my lips. And I'm sad to say tonight, as I'm sitting in the back thinking about that, going, God, is your praise always really on my lips? And the moments flood back to my mind of, man, it wasn't then. It wasn't then, man. Today, I don't know that I could say that throughout my day, your praise was on my lips. I can't say that no matter what happened today, Jesus was really the most valuable thing in my heart. And it caused me to praise through all the other junk that might happen. And I think about tonight that we're about to look at another battle. We've been walking through the battles of Scripture, these epic battles. And one thing we're learning about each battle is that God's using them to teach the people of Israel faith. Every single battle. And so far, the battles we've looked at, we haven't really even seen Israel fight. Like, they haven't been responsible for these battles, for winning them. And like Jericho, what's going on? Like, they're marching around Jericho, and it's not even this like sword slinging battle that's going on. God's just like, I'm going to crush them with the walls of Jericho, and all you're going to do is praise me. And I'll open it up so you can go in and finish it off. And the other battle we saw with Moses holding up his staff, and God, every time he points up, God's letting them win. And every time it goes down, they start to lose. So there's constant reminder that they have to believe and trust in God. What do you think it is God's trying to teach us? Every day when you get up, you're going to face battles in your life. You're going to face things that are going to come against you. And you have to look at those things and say, I'm not going to be discouraged by you. I'm not going to let you defeat me today. I'm not going to let you paint the mood of my day today. Because I have faith. And this battle is going to create bigger faith in me. So when I walk out the other side, I can say, my God's winning this thing for me. My God's in charge of my life. And it's not because of the circumstances, the goods and the bads. It's because there is a Savior named Jesus who has already won this thing for me. And He loves me enough to give His life for me. That's where my faith comes from. Not how big my bank account is, not how much I get physically blessed by the Lord with a big house and lots of friends and popularity or any of these other things. It's the fact that I'm loved beyond measure by the Savior. That's why His praise is always on my lips. That's the reason His praise should be on your lips. And so as I'm thinking through these songs, I'm thinking about tonight, the battle we're about to look at is actually kind of the preparation for a battle. And we're going to look at Gideon. If you guys want to open up to Judges chapter 6, we're going to be popping around that chapter a little bit tonight, looking at what God's doing with this guy named Gideon. As you're turning there, I'll just tell you, I was with some friends. I think it was with Justin and Matt Denyer, actually. We're in Guatemala, and we're, I don't even know what we're doing there, we're working on something, but we were hanging out this one day with some dudes from the village, and they have this big mountain. You guys may have seen pictures of this massive mountain that the ministry's located on, and we're walking up the mountain, and a buddy of mine, really cool dude, drove a scooter, right? Like, totally slick guy. But not just a scooter, like one of those like really nice Vespa types, like the really nice ones, you know? And he was cool because he drove a really sweet ride in Guatemala. So he's driving up and he pulls up at this little scooter. And we're like, what's up, dude? And he was cool because of the scooter. All right, that's what made this guy awesome. So he pulls up. There's one thing about that you need to know. Nobody touched this guy's scooter You weren't allowed to. It was like his status symbol, the love of his life. Like one day he was going to marry that scooter. It just, you don't touch his scooter. And you knew that. You could watch, you could observe, you could enjoy it from a distance, but you couldn't touch the scooter. And he was pretty mean if you got too close, if you started to mess with it. If you joked around like you were going to ride it, the dude would tackle you into the bushes. Like it was a bad, you don't touch the scooter. So this one girl comes up. As we're sitting there talking to this dude, she was a very pretty girl. And he thought she was very pretty. And just like pretty girls tend to do to very, very tough dudes, oh, can I ride your scooter? And I'm thinking, yeah, fat chance of that. Like he's told me no like 20 times and I'm close. And he just melts. He melts in her big brown eyes as she's begging to like use his scooter. I've never seen it before. First time ever. I couldn't believe my eyes or ears as he was like, yeah, I guess you could take a ride. I was like, what? Bro, really, seriously, you don't even know this girl. Like, I'm your bud. And sure enough, he lets her ride it. And we're all sitting there like, I can't believe this. This is not happening. So there she goes. She gets on the scooter. I could tell immediately she wasn't a scooter girl. I don't know if she's ever ridden a scooter. She's learning how to ride a scooter for the first time on this dude's, like, Vespa. And so I'm thinking, this ain't going to be good. Because we're on a mountain, don't forget, about halfway up. So she jumps on this thing, and she kind of bobs a little bit, and we're like, whoa, you know, she's just one of those, but then kind of takes off, and she goes up and goes around this turn and disappears behind some trees. Within seconds, we hear, ah, and then bam, and we're like, oh no, this can't be good. So we start running, you know, we do one of those like runs, like superhero runs, and we're taking off. It's one of those. It was like in slow motion in my mind. I was almost laughing because I knew it was going to happen in like clockwork. I think Justin and I even looked at each other like we knew this was going to go down like this. We get around the corner, and as we get around the corner, we're all relieved because there she is. She's just standing there. She's safe. We're like, oh, good. But we proceed to look in front of her at the pile of scooter parts that are just like strewn all over the road. She had gone around the corner and just slammed into the wall on the side of the mountain. And she just stepped off the scooter and just let it go. Pfft, the thing explodes all over the mountain. And we're like, bro, I told you so. That's what you get. God is punishing you for not letting me ride your scooter. And there was something that kind of struck my mind as I saw that thing go down. She couldn't believe either that he let her ride the scooter. It was one of those moments where everybody knows this dude doesn't lend it out. And so when he told her yes, she was like, really? He's like, yeah, I guess you can ride it. She's like, no, but seriously? He's like, yeah, sure, go ahead, get it. She asked him like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, girl, get on that scooter. He's never going to let you do it. You know, one of those. And then I thought through my life for a second, the moments in my life where I couldn't believe it was happening. You ever had that? Something like incredible happened in your life and you just couldn't believe it. You had to kind of ask 3 or 4 times. You'd be like, seriously now? Like this is going to happen? And I thought about Gideon. I thought how Gideon gets before God and God gives him this huge, huge task. You guys are about to see what happens. But Gideon pulls one of those, are you serious, God? Like, is this really what you want to do? Are you really calling me to this? So let's check it out real quick. We're in Judges chapter 6. Let's start in verse 36. It says, then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you said, behold, I'm laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there's dew on the fleece alone, and it's dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you've said. And it was so. When he rose early next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. So here's Gideon, and God calls him to do this big thing. I want you to lead my people. I want you to deliver my people. I want you to come out and do these really big, scary things for me. And he says, I'm going to use you in a powerful way. And Gideon does that one. Wait, what? Are you sure you're talking to the right guy? Are you sure you want me to do this, God? Let me just test it and make sure, because maybe I just had bad like hummus last night or something, and I just dreamed this up. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a lamb skin, a fleece, and I'm going to stick it outside.
And if the thing's wet but it's dry everywhere else, then I'll know it's actually you and not just the spaghetti. You know, like he wakes up, hummus spaghetti. He wakes up, he wrings it out, water, tons of water. He's like, but okay, that was cool, God, but that could have maybe happened naturally. Like maybe just something happened. Like, but here's what definitely couldn't happen. The ground can't be, it can't happen the other way. So he says, let me just test you one more time. But I don't want you to be mad at me that I'm asking again. Just be patient with me here, God, because I just want to be sure. You ever had that moment? You feel where he's at right now? God, really? Are you calling me right now? Are you sure that I could stand up and do this thing you're asking me to do? You want me to walk into my school and do what? You want me to start a Bible study during lunch on my campus? Do you know what those kids are going to say about me? Are you sure you're calling the right person? You want me to talk to that kid about his faith in Jesus? Do you know what that kid says about Christians? Have you ever been there? Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're just not sure God's actually saying it to you, but you feel kind of like Gideon, where you're standing in the middle of this big, big question God has for you, this big thing he's calling you to, and you're like, God, let me test you a few times. I'm just not sure. Now, here's something that you need to know about this. Like back in the ancient Near East where he lived in this time, this was like a common thing. All sorts of religions did this. They took these fleeces, these skins, and they would use them to like prophesy and get answers from their gods. And it wasn't uncommon that Gideon would do this too. But here's the difference. Gideon's God was real. This was the creator of the universe that he's asking this question to. And so he takes this fleece and he sets it out before God. And the passage isn't here telling us, hey, it's really good to test God. This is what you should do. If you need to know what God's telling you, go test him. Put him to the test. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself quotes Deuteronomy, right? Which is the Old Testament law. It says this. It says, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. That's Matthew 4:7. So Gideon's not being like applauded for like testing God here. So it's like, why would this story make him out to look like this hero after what he's done? And I don't think Gideon looks like the hero here. I think God does. I think the grace of God is the thing that shines through this story as we look at this imperfect man who's scared, just like you and I usually are, right? When God calls us to a big thing and we're like, are you sure? And we ask him four times and we're like, just prove it one more time because I don't know I have the courage to move forward, God. And God's grace shines through my imperfect life as I test him, as I ask him. And instead of just writing me off, he says, I want your faith to grow. Remember the point of the battles? Depend on Jesus. God is constantly pursuing you to get you into a position of dependence on him. He wants us to be at his feet, bowed down. He wants us to depend and not think Rob Jones can do everything himself. Look how good I am down here, God. Look at all the things I've learned. I can win the world for you. That's not what he wants. He wants Rob Jones to be on his knees before him, depending and trusting and having faith. Where are you placing your faith tonight? Are you at the feet of Jesus, depending on him? Are you struggling to form this life where you're this like modern day superhero because you've just got it all together and you've learned so many things and have so many talents and you want to just be able to be the best you can be, which is awesome. But are you at the feet of Jesus saying, God, it's not about what I can do. It's about what you can do through me, and I'm at your feet depending on you. Do you spend more time at the feet of Jesus than you do trying to work on yourself and make yourself better? Because that's how we put our money where our mouth is in this thing. It's easy to say one thing and do another. But when you believe this, you fall on your face before Christ and say, let's spend some time together. I can't do anything without you. I love that God's grace is what shines through this story. See, God doesn't want a man of fleeces. He wants a man of faith. He wants a woman of faith that says, God, here I am. I want to rewind. Let's do a quick rewind and see what just happened to get Gideon to this place. Go all the way back to verse 7 of Judges 6. Verse 7, let's read a couple verses and see how this thing starts. It says, when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt, brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. You see, Israel kept needing to see God's miracles. Remember the story? We've been walking through it. God goes down to Egypt and he miraculously delivers the people of Israel from Egypt. He sends Moses. And this epic battle that takes place, they don't even fight. God splits the sea in half and crushes the Egyptians. God does the fighting and all they have to do is flee and trust God. And then we see these other battles and these other things take place from there where God here is going, hey, listen, I want you to remember what I've done for you. You know how you have faith? You know how you build your faith? You think back on the things that God has done. And so he's telling his people here, you guys have forgotten. How quickly you forgot what it looked like when those massive things of water just kind of pull back and you have dry land that you're going to walk through. How do you forget something like that? How do you forget as you watch that water fall and crush an entire army under its weight? How do you forget the celebration after the moment of this desperation you felt in your heart, like, they're going to kill us, and then all of a sudden I show up and do this miracle? How do you forget that? And here you are, worshiping other gods already. How have you forgotten me? And that's where we find Gideon. Amongst a group of people who have forgotten God and all the amazing things he's done. And they kept needing to ask God for miracle after miracle to prove himself. Well, that was cool what you did then, God, but if you're still with us, if you still care, like, do something else. Show us another miracle. Keep amazing us with these wonders so we could keep believing. But God's saying, I don't want to keep having these fleeces set out before me. I want you to remember what I've done and believe in me. Gideon is an example of always needing more proof. Look back at his faithfulness. Believe instead of asking for more proof. That's what he's asking us to do. What has God done in your life? What are the things you can rejoice about that you've seen God do? How many of you are believers tonight? You've believed in Christ. Raise your hand just like, yes, I believe in Jesus. He saved me. All right, here's the deal for you. He took you, a dead person, and he made you alive. Every one of you have an unbelievable testimony because you had a broken, messed up heart and you were a dead person walking and God showed up and said, here's the greatest miracle of all. I'm going to do it in you. Your very life story, your testimony, if you believe in Jesus, is a miracle of God. He's raised you from the dead and given you eternal life. Think back to the moment God saved you from your sin, when he called you out of death and slavery, and say, God, as I face this big thing coming up in my life, I remember back when you saved me. I carry Jesus, the Holy Spirit, in my heart as I go on toward this thing that's scaring me like crazy. Like, I don't know if I can do this, but I know you can, because I've seen you do the unimaginable. Look back at the things that God's done for you. The times you've prayed and he's answered your prayer. The times he's shown up and just surprised you when you had no clue it was going to happen and you have no one else to blame but say, God, you did this. Look back in Scripture and see the things he's done for us before you were even born. Because God has an entire timeline of miracles he's been doing so that you and I can look back and go, our God is faithful and our God is strong and he deserves me to trust him. I want to take you a little bit further in this. In Judges chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 12 to 17. Check this part out.
It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Man, I love to be called that. If an angel showed up and was like, hey, Rob, you mighty man of valor, I'd be like, oh, yeah, man, yeah. You never heard it before, but that'd be awesome. Anyway, so that's what Gideon gets called. And Gideon said to him, listen to his response, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? You hear the fear in his voice? You're staring at an angel. You're staring at this inexplicable, unimaginably powerful thing in front of you, and you're going, ah, I'm scared. Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us? Our ancestors told us about these awesome things, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us to the hand of the Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Did not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Here goes God again. Listen, let me continue to encourage you, Gideon. And he's like, ah, are you sure? You sure you're, how am I supposed to do this thing, God? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. He just continues to show his fear. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you. Did you hear it? Many times have you looked at God and said, I can't do this. Will you let these words ring in your head and your heart next time? Next time you face an impossible task and you hear God tell you, if I called you, I will be with you. The God who created everything that exists, the God who nothing is impossible for, is the same God saying, I'm in you and I'm with you and I want to do this. And the Lord said to him, I will be with you and you shall strike the Midians as one man. And he said to him, if now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Here he goes again. Okay, look, pep talk's good, God. Kind of like the Alabama pep talk probably just didn't work, you know? Didn't work. Just didn't work, guys. It must have been one of those, because he looks back at God and he's like, okay, yeah, that sounds good, but now I need you to do a sign to really prove this. God's like, I've already told you three times. Like, I've made this so clear. Here's what I want you to hear from this. Are you ready? Obey God when he speaks clearly the first time. You can trust his words. If God says, hey, listen, get up and go. I want you to do this. You know what you should do? You should get up and go and trust him. Believe in him. The God who created everything that exists is worthy of your trust. You don't need to keep asking God, are you sure? Are you sure? Do a sign. Do a miracle. Show it. Prove it. God, maybe somebody would come up and reaffirm it. Just say, God, if you said it, I believe it. If God says it clearly the first time, obey him. You see, we all have questions, decisions that we need to make. And it's okay to struggle with God. Go ahead, struggle with him. He wants you to. That's fine. But do it the right way. You don't go to God with this fear in your heart and disbelief in him. You go to God and say, I know who you are. I'm looking at the past. I have questions about this, God. I need your strength in my heart. You don't go to him with this defeated attitude like, I don't know if you're strong enough. I don't know if you know what you're talking about. Instead, you remember what he's already done. And you say, God, you've always been faithful. And I'm scared out of my mind. This thing is big. And I know alone I can't do this, God, but you have always been faithful, so we need to struggle through this together here. I think Gideon kind of, at the end, gets some of this, but it takes him a journey. And the cool thing is God's grace is so big, he took Gideon through the journey because he wanted him to get at the end of this and have a greater faith in his heart. Thank you, God, for dealing with me that way. Because I feel like I'm constantly doing that with him. And he's looking down at imperfect Rob. He's like, that's not the way you're supposed to do it, but I have grace on you, and I'm going to walk you through it, Rob. And when you get to the end of this,
you're going to have stronger faith. Look at Judges 6, 19 to 22. That's how we'll end. It says, so Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and the broth he put in a pot and brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, put them on this rock and pour the broth over them. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of his staff that was in his hand, touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cake. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. You think that at that point, it would have been enough. I've just seen God face to face. I've seen you do this incredible work right in front of me. God, here we go. I'm going to go because you said it. But instead, the next part is the part we read first. He goes, just one more thing. Make this fleece wet. Just one more thing, God. Keep it dry and make the ground wet. He just keeps adding these tests to God. Can I encourage you to not be like Gideon in that tonight? Can I tell you tonight that we serve the most incredible Savior? You see, Gideon didn't even have the Holy Spirit living in him like those of you who just raised your hand. You've got God in you. You've got the Holy Spirit, the power of God within you living. What is God calling you to do tonight? Maybe some of you have never even thought about it. You've never asked God. You're too busy. You're like playing your video games and you're texting and you're like out having fun and doing your school and your sports and hanging out with your friends. And you've never stopped to take the time to say, God, what is it you want me to do? I want to live for you. That's what I said when I gave you my life. I took my life and I put it in your hands and said, God, it's yours. And then I took it right back and I started to do my own thing. And I never thought again about you, except maybe when I go to church. God's like, no, I want you to take that life and have faith enough in me to give me the whole thing. And then you listen and say, God, what is it you're calling me to do with that life that you are holding? And you know what you do? You don't go, make this fleece wet. Tell me, prove it, send somebody. You go, God, I'm scared, but I know you're faithful. I trust you. And you obey what he's clearly said to you. You guys close your eyes and bow your heads for just a second. The story of Gideon gets me every time because I see so much of myself in it. And I bet some of you guys do too. And I know that God is calling people in this room to do stuff because you raised your hand and you said you believe in God. You said you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. And you know what? There's something I know from Scripture. When you do that, He calls you to serve Him. He didn't just call you to sit where you're at. So if your hand was up, guess what God's doing? He's calling you. Just like He called Gideon. Everybody may be to a different thing, but there's something He's calling you to tonight. So first of all, I just want to ask you, think this in your heart. Am I listening for the voice of God to call me? Am I even in a place, in a posture in my life where I'd hear him if he said, hey, Rob, I want you to do this thing? Am I too busy? Am I focused in other places? Or am I listening for the voice of God in my life? If that's you, will you just pray right now in your heart and say, God, will you break my heart for that? Will you give me ears to hear you, a heart that's attentive to you? Maybe some of you guys are like, hey, listen, like I've been trying to listen to God, but I've been too scared to follow. These are some big things. Let me pray for you tonight. If that's you, you're like, man, I just need prayer that I'll have the courage to look back in his faithfulness and say yes. And Rob, tonight I just need you to pray for me where I'm at. Just pray that God will put that in my heart and that I will obey what he has clearly told me. Is that you tonight? Can you slip your hand up and say, yeah, I could use a prayer. Rob, pray for me. I see you guys. Anybody else? Hold them up high so I can see them. Yeah, I see you guys too. Anyone else? Pray that I have the courage to follow what he's told me to do. Let me pray for you guys right now. Father, you saw the hands, and you know that there's more that didn't raise their hand tonight. You know each of us so well. God, I pray that you put courage in our hearts, that we would be so aware of the power of the Holy Spirit in us, that we wouldn't fear the things you've clearly told us to do. We don't need to throw out any more fleeces. You don't want men of fleeces. You want men of faith. God, will you make us men and women of faith? Cause us to follow. Go into our schools with the gospel of Jesus and proudly have that praise of your name on our lips. Among our family, as we play sports, God, the things that we do in our lives, will you cause us to praise you boldly? You are our everything, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray.